Welcome to the 12F podcast. My name is Gregory, your host. There's a lot of turmoil going on in the US right now. A lot of turmoil, I tell you, especially New York City. And if you guys don't know, I live in New York City, so I would know. But specifically Columbia, NYU, Texas A&M, USC, UCLA, just to name a few countries, universities around the country that are experiencing protests in terms of these Israel-Palestinian/Hamas situations. It's very interesting because a lot of this makes me wonder what this means prophetically and biblically. But before we get into that, I want to show you a little clip of what actually is going on at these universities and what is taking place. Let's see here.
Earlier in the day, a student storming through a building and waving the Palestinian flag. Some Jewish students frustrated.
I have wholeheartedly always supported the right to like freedom of protest and the freedom of speech. But when that starts to impede upon like our right to education, be able to like freely walk on campus, that's where I have an issue.
State troopers also in riot gear at the University of Texas, Austin, detaining demonstrators. Even carrying this person out by their hands, and at one point, students surrounding police who say they use pepper spray to disperse the crowd. The university says it believes a majority of the protesters are not affiliated with the school. And as the protests continue to spread, the University of Florida taking a firm stance this morning. In a statement following arrests, the school saying, "The University of Florida is not a daycare, and we do not treat protesters like children. They knew the rules, they broke the rules, and they'll face the consequences." As schools across the country struggle to deal with protests overtaking campuses.
And back here at Columbia, university telling students and faculty that access to other buildings here on campus may be restricted today. And while negotiations, here for the moment between organizers and students may have failed, over at Northwestern and Illinois, university officials and their organizers saying they've come to some agreement. And some of those conclusions include limiting the scope of the protest in exchange for more funding for Palestinian students and their faculty, as well as additional transparency over specific investments. Oda?
All right, George Solis for us there at Columbia. George.
Okay. Well, that just gives you a little insight on about what's going on specifically at these universities. It's insane because you're hearing death to America and all sorts of other things. Excuse me. You're hearing all sorts of things. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, which basically calls for the eradication of Jews and an erasure of a Jewish state. And I hate to use that terminology because it's such a triggering thing to hear for some people. And it's just true though, because what from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. What geographical location is that? That's Israel. So if you're saying that phrase, you're calling for the eradication of Jews. No, you don't want Jews in the land. You're calling for an Islamic state. One, you're also calling for a Palestinian state. You don't want a two-state solution. You want a Palestinian state. You don't want an Israeli state. You want a Palestinian state. So this, again, it kind of begs the question, what does the Bible have to say about all of this? Because all of this is about a piece of land anyway. At the end of the day, all of this is about land. Who's here first? Whose land is it really? Well, a lot of Palestinians and a lot of people in general would say, oh, Jesus was born in Palestine. Jesus was a Palestinian man. That's actually wrong. He actually wasn't. So I don't know why people keep saying that. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, right? And where was Bethlehem? People will say Palestine. Israel was not. Bethlehem is not in Palestine. It's Israel. It's Israel. That's what the Bible says. So, yeah. That's what we're going to take with that. Because the Bible is correct, right? The Bible can never be incorrect about any of this. So, if the Bible is correct, then I would probably go with that. I'll probably go with that. But let me pull up an outside source. in terms of if you don't want to go with what I'm saying in the Bible and what the Bible is saying. Let me pull up an outside source, because people don't do their research, and I really don't know why. From the top here, right? Israel first appears near the end of the 13th century BC within the Egyptian Merneptah stele, referring apparently to a people rather than a place inhabiting what was then Canaan, which actually lines up biblically. Also, if you don't, if you're not familiar, in the Bible, I think it's in Genesis 17, God promises Abraham the land, right? But the problem is the Canaanites are in that land. The Canaanites live there. The Canaanites are occupying the land. God judges the Canaanites because they're wicked, and he sends the Israelites to do it, to carry out this judgment, this punishment. And he tells them to wipe them out, utterly wipe them out. And that is exactly what happens. Not to mention the Canaanites were doing reprehensible things. Like, I think they were the ones sacrificing children, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong about that. I'm pretty sure I'm right, though. They were doing terrible things. Terrible things. God judges them. God judges them very, very clearly. So, but moving forward, it says, a few centuries later in that region, we find two sister kingdoms, Israel and Judah, the origin of the term Jew, right? According to the Bible, there had been first a monarchy comprising both, apparently called, also called Israel. Let's move down here, though, to Palestine. So Israel was established in, again, the 13th century BC. Palestine here is established when? In AD 135. Very clearly put there. Following a failed Jewish revolt, the Roman Emperor Hadrian expelled the Jews from Jerusalem and decreed that the city and surrounding territory be part of a larger entity called Syria-Palestina. Palestina took its name from the coastal territory of the ancient Philistines, enemies of the Israelites, ancestors of the Jews. Isn't that clear? Isn't that clear? Isn't that clear? I think it's pretty clear. So if the Jews were there first, let's take it back, actually. If God came to Abraham and said, I'm going to give you some land, the land's going to be yours, wasn't Abraham the founder of Judaism? Wasn't Abraham the founder of Judaism? Isn't Abraham a Jew? God says, I'm going to give you some land and I'm going to call it Israel, and you're going to live there for forever. Forever. And it's going to be for you and your descendants forever. Doesn't that make the land for the Jewish people? And isn't it thus called Israel? Does that mean that the land belongs to the Palestinians? I don't think that's what that says. I think that means that the Jewish people are supposed to be in the land, and the land belongs to them. All of this is about land. All of this is about whose land is it. I think it's very clear. The land belongs to the people in which God said it was for. Well, you might ask, well, where does it say that biblically? Where does it say that? I'll show you. Genesis 17, like I mentioned before. Actually, I have it read because I don't feel like reading it.
Genesis 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you, and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. Then God said to Abraham.
I think that's pretty clear. I think that is pretty clear. The land belongs to the Jews. If you're a Christian, you don't know where to fall in line with all of this, and you're confused about, well, I don't support what's going on as far as what the Jews are doing right now with the deaths of Palestinians in Gaza. I don't agree with that either. Not everything Israel does is good. I mean, it's very clear as far as the Bible is concerned that the Israelites made a ton of mistakes, right? I mean, they made themselves idols. They did all sorts of things. They were in the desert for like 40 years. They made tons of mistakes, and they still will. I mean, they'll continue to make mistakes. They still will. But that doesn't mean that Israel as a whole should be eradicated or no longer have a state. Because when you're a Christian and you're saying from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, that doesn't make sense scripturally. That doesn't line up to what you believe biblically. And if you don't believe in the whole Bible, and that's just a subsection of the Bible that you don't really support, then maybe you should really question your faith, because the Bible is true. And all of it. All of the Bible. Either all of the Bible is true or none of it's true. Either all of the Bible is true or none of it is. If God doesn't keep his promise to Israel that the land is theirs, If God doesn't keep his promise to the Jews that the land of Israel is theirs, why would God keep his promise to you as far as your salvation is concerned? Why would God keep his promise to you? If God is a liar, right, and he's going to break his covenant with Abraham, I will give you this land, the land in which you are now a foreigner, in the land of Canaan, I'm going to give it to you, and it's going to be for you and your descendants forever. If God is going to break that covenant and break his promise to Abraham, why would you think that God would keep his promise to you? If you're a Christian and you don't know where to fall in line on this Palestinian Hamas/Israeli situation, I don't support genocide either. No one is supporting this. No one wants people to die. But at the end of the day, Hamas attacked first. That doesn't mean we want 35,000 people dead. That does not mean that. It means I'm on God's side, and whatever God says is, it will be. That's what will be. Period. Period. That's it. That's it. It's done. We have no say. Whatever God says will be. I want the Palestinians to stop dying too. So where do we go from here? Right? Where do we go from here? We not only should we pray for the Palestinians, not only should we pray for Gaza, but we should go there and give our resources, whatever we have to give. Right? Go do a missions trip. Go do something. We should all do something. I know Bishop Marmari Emmanuel was just there, and he just came back after doing a little trip there. All Christians should be helping. All Christians should be doing something. Whether that means you're praying or actually going there, we should be doing something. Israel is not going to do the right thing all the time. They're not. They're people just like we are. They're going to make mistakes too. That doesn't, this does not mean we support any sort of deaths, mass deaths, casual deaths, a few deaths. We don't support any deaths. But we support the right for Israel to defend themselves. Let's be clear here. The land belongs to them. The land has always been theirs. When they were exiled and they left the land, who was living there? The Palestinians were. I mean, that's clear. The Palestinians were living there. But when the Jews came back and they were ready to take their land, they're like, oh, hey, by the way, guys, we live here. This is our land. Palestinians are like, what are you talking about? This is our land. And the Jews are like, well, God gave it to us, so. God gave us the land, so. And then they took some land, and then they took some more land, and then ended up having a lot of land, and then they took a lot more land, and then now the land is theirs. They conquered it. If you don't believe in conquered land, if you're American, should you be giving back your land over to the Native Americans? Should we leave and go back to, you know, wherever we came from? Because this land is occupied land, right? This land is conquered land, right? Do you want to give your house over to someone else? I don't hear any of these protesters, you know, calling for genocide against Jewish people or the eradication of Jews, or from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, the erasure of a Jewish state. I don't hear them calling to give up their land. They want divestment. At the end of the day, at these protests, these colleges, they're calling for the divestment of these universities from Israel. No, don't send any more money there. That's what they want. This is a very touchy subject. This is a very touchy situation, because if you're a Gazan, if you're a Palestinian, if you're close to the situation in the Middle East, this is a very touchy situation for you. And if you're a Christian and you're watching mass, you know, droves of kids, children, women and children dying in Gaza, this is a very touchy situation for you too. It's a touchy situation for anyone. For anyone. But at the end of the day, no one wants this. But Hamas attacked first, right? Shouldn't Israel defend themselves? If it was, I tell you what, if it was an attack on America, America would be like, guns blazing. We already did that in 2001 with the terrorist attacking here in New York. I mean, we responded. I mean, that's a touchy situation too, because there were mass weapons of destruction that we never found. So that's a touchy situation too. But at the end of the day, if there's an attack on America, we're going to respond. Shouldn't any country have the right to defend themselves? I agree. I agree with that. But in terms of mass deaths, I don't agree with that. I can say that. I can confidently say that, but guess whose side I'm on? I'm on God's side. And if God says to bless Israel, I'm going to bless them. He says, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. But also, let me show you something before I end this video. Let me show you something that really blew my mind. There was a man, a Turkish prime minister, who actually died cursing Israel. I'll show you.
İşbirlikçisiniz. İsrail'in Gazze'ye attığı her bombada katkınız var. Tarihin azabından kurtulsanız Allah'ın gazabından kurtulamayacaksınız. Hepinizi saygıyla selamlıyorum.
And he dies. Not then and there. He actually he actually is revived. They were actually able to revive him. But 2 days later, he died in the hospital from complications. God took him. God said very clearly in the word, I will bless those that bless Israel, and I will curse those that curse you. This isn't a game. This isn't a game. This is not a game. God is serious. Because God says that is the apple of his eye. Israel is the apple of his eye. One day when Jesus returns, he's going to sit on the throne where? In Israel, not in Palestine, because the land is Israel, right? He's going to sit on the throne in Jerusalem. Remember the kingdom of God that we always pray for to come on earth as it is in heaven? Remember, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Remember that? That kingdom will come here one day, and Jesus will be here one day, and he will sit on his throne here one day in Jerusalem. So when you curse the apple of his eye, it's a serious offense. It's a serious thing. This isn't a game. God's not playing games. God is not playing games. That's all I have to say about this. If you have anything to say, and again, I know this is a touchy situation. If you have anything to say, put it in the comment section. I have no problem reading your comments and reading what you guys have to say. Like, comment, subscribe. See you guys in the next one.